This morning we find ourselves once again standing on the leading edge of Lent. I remember several years ago I was listening to, I believe it was XRT on Fat Tuesday, and the DJ talking about Mardi Gras and the various events and places one could go on Fat Tuesday said this: if you're celebrating Mardi Gras and not so much into the Lent thing, well, you're probably not alone. But if you are into the sacrifice thing, into Lent, that's okay too. His words said, that's okay too. But the tone of his voice and kind of the chuckle in his voice led me to believe that he thought this whole Lent thing was a little strange, perhaps even a little ridiculous. It was a stark reminder for me how outside the norm this season of Lent really is. And I mean, ultimately, it shouldn't be that surprising, should it? I mean, it's during Lent that we are called back to our senses, invited to return once again to God and explore those things in our lives that as a culture, we spend a great deal of time and money trying to avoid. In Lent, we spend 40 days in self-examination and self-denial, in taking that long look in the mirror as individuals and as communities. I don't understand why people aren't jumping at the chance to walk through Lent with us. So in many ways, we as the church have Lent all to ourselves. As I've said before, it's hard to imagine Hallmark cards centered around Ash Wednesday, centered around this season of Lent. And maybe I'm a little idealistic sometimes, but I think there's something hopeful about knowing that there are communities of people around the city, around the world, who desire to try, if not are committed to actually doing some self-examination and some repentance. There's something hopeful that there are churches in which people are willing to try and go out into the wilderness and explore their own shadows. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we gather once again to do that strange thing of seeking not after our own glory and our own good, but you and your glory and our neighbor's good. Still our minds from all of the tasks that the weekend still holds. Send your spirit in this place that we may once again hear a word of good news. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I'm always struck with how this story of Jesus going out into the wilderness opens. It's that same spirit that filled Jesus just days before in the waters of baptism, if you remember, that is now leading Jesus out into the wilderness where he is tempted by the devil. That's always seemed strange to me. Why would the spirit lead Jesus out into this wilderness to be tempted? It's almost as if the spirit wanted this to happen. Wanted Jesus to have an encounter with the devil at his most vulnerable and exhausted moments. What's that about? Now, there's some debate about this, the way this story is told. There's some debate about whether the devil was actually physically present in some physical form, or if in this instance, the devil talk is a personification of an interior struggle going on in Jesus. A way for us listeners to understand that Jesus was wrestling with something very real. His own very real darkness. that could get in the way of his ability to follow his call, to live into his baptismal identity. And while that latter definition makes a little bit more sense to me, I don't really think that's the point of this story and where we should get caught up. I don't think that's why Jesus told this story to his disciples, and I don't think that's why the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness. But why did the Spirit lead Jesus out? Why did the Spirit want this to happen? Every once in a while, I listen to a podcast called Reboot. I doubt any of you are familiar with it. It's a fine podcast. That's more a critique of the podcast than anything. It's a fine podcast. It's not great. It's not terrible. It's, you know, one of those that's just fine. I listen pretty selectively, and mostly when one of the topics interests me. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I found one that sounded interesting, and I was listening to it, and it was all about the importance of exploring and confronting our own shadows. Those parts of ourselves, as Carl Jung described them, that we may not be aware of, but that color or shape how we live our lives, how we interact with other people, how we use our gifts and our talents. Our shadows are those things that when we are made aware of them, they make us a little bit uncomfortable. In part because they tend to contradict how we understand ourselves to be. At their core, many of our shadows center around our ego's desire for comfort, for things like security, for safety, for power, the need to be satisfied, to have our needs and wants met. And what happens is that these shadows in us, they shape how we live our lives. They shape our relationships with one another, whether we are aware of them or not. As James Hollis, the psychoanalyst being interviewed on this podcast, put it, our shadows spill out of us in unexpected ways into our relationships, our work, indeed our very lives. So I was listening to this podcast, and in the background I have this story of Jesus in the wilderness swirling around, and that's when it clicked for me in ways that it hadn't before. The Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness because Jesus had to do some shadow work. Jesus had to confront his own shadows. He had to confront this dark side of his ego. If he was going to live into this baptismal identity as the beloved of God and live out his mission, which he will declare immediately after this, to bring good news to the poor. If he was going to live into this identity and live out this mission, he had to confront and accept and learn to live out his call in light of his humanity, in light of his shadow, in light of his ego's desire for security, for power, for comfort. And it seems that the temptations zero in right there. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to turn to a loaf of bread. I know you're hungry. You can provide for yourself. Just do it. If you worship me, I will give you all the authority over all of the kingdoms of the world. You can have all of the power you want. Just worship me. Do this one thing. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the top of the temple, for the Bible says the angels will protect you. Show the people who you really are. Test God. You can maybe even control God. As Father Richard Rohr once wrote, even Jesus must face these subtle disguises before he begins his public ministry. Only when he has found freedom from his ego's need for power can Jesus teach with true authority and speak truth to the oppressive powers of his time. In this way, this wilderness confrontation with the devil, these temptations were an invocation of sorts, as I think all shadow work is, a calling forth of wholeness, a calling forth of who God desires us to be. And without this wilderness confrontation, without this shadow work, these temptations that cut straight to the heart of our ego's desire for security and for power and for comfort, without these 40 days in the wilderness, the shadows that Jesus carried with him in all of his humanity would have spilled out and challenged his identity and stunted his mission and call. And so I wonder if Jesus was led by the Spirit, because like so many of us, he wasn't entirely aware of his own shadow. Like all of us, maybe he needed the nudge of the Spirit into the wilderness of shadow work to face these temptations. James Hollis writes, "It takes a strong sense of self and no little courage to be able to examine and take responsibility for these darker selves when they turn up. It is much easier to deny them, to blame others, to project elsewhere or bury it and just keep on rolling." You see, without confronting these temptations out in the wilderness, without wrestling with his own shadows, his very human ego, would he have been able to live out the mission he declares? Or would he have co-opted his call for his own gain and power? Carl Jung once said that we walk around in shoes too small. We all walk around in shoes too small, in part because of our unexamined shadows. They keep us from wholeness. They keep us from living out this call to something so much bigger. Out in the wilderness, through these temptations, Jesus examined these shadows. He confronted the pull of his ego. He became aware of it, its reality in his life, and he decentered it and instead centered God and God's call. One does not live by bread alone. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. We always begin Lent here with the story of Jesus out in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And I always think it's a perfect place to start. An invitation for you, an invitation for me, an invitation for all of us to be open to the way the Spirit may be leading you out into this wilderness, to confront your own shadows, your ego's desire for security, for power, for comfort, those deeper things that tempt us and keep us from living out God's call to something bigger. And all while knowing that 40 days of Lent is not going to be enough. It is lifelong work. You see, I'm not convinced this is the last time that Jesus is confronted by his own shadows. I'm not convinced he eliminated the temptations. Do you remember the story? It was in the garden before his crucifixion. And he prayed. And he said, God, take this cup of suffering from me. Ego's desire for safety, for security. But maybe because of his wilderness temptations, because the Spirit led him out, he became aware of their power, and he was able to decenter them. And he was able to center God instead. And so in this moment, in the garden, where he prays, take this cup of suffering for me, he is also able to pray, yet not my will, but yours be done. This wilderness work is lifelong work. And it's challenging and uncomfortable work. But it is also an invocation, a calling forth of wholeness, that we might live more fully into who God desires us to be. I recently read where someone said, rather than always fighting temptation, consider fleeing from it. Distance yourself from any point of vulnerability. And I suppose that on the surface that makes sense, that's good advice. But only if we can flee our own egos. But we can't. And sometimes, if not always, the real temptations, the deep temptations, aren't out there. They're in here. And so my prayer this Lent so that we take Jesus' lead and be open to allowing the Spirit to lead us out into the wilderness for some shadow work, that we might return to the one who desires life for us and life abundantly. This Ash Wednesday, just a few days ago, where we were marked with ashes, we closed with a blessing written by Jan Richardson. And it felt appropriate for today as well as we talk of shadow work. And so I thought I'd read part of it again as we consider our shadows in its own way, a marking of ash and mess and dirt and frailty. She writes, let us be marked not for sorrow. Let us be marked not for shame. Let us be marked not for false humility or for thinking we are less than we are, but for claiming what God can do within the dust, within the dirt, within, I might add, the shadows. The stuff of which the world is made, and the stars that blaze in our bones, and the galaxies that spiral inside the smudges we bear. Friends, let us follow Jesus out into the wilderness so that we too might claim what God can do. Amen.